above the song. Let your name be lifted high. Let your name be honored. We commit all that we are to you and everything that we do. We reach towards you, Jesus.
Here I am, down on my knees. Good morning, everyone. Welcome to Ascend Church. The band, we're all glad that you're all here. We want you to stand up and worship with us this morning. And to our church family watching online, we invite you to join us in worship right where you are as we enter into God's presence. Amen. Here we go. Just put your hands up and sing this song with me.
I don't need a smoke of mirrors, 'cause I know there's a God who's real. I don't need the lights to fool me, 'cause I have seen the God who heals. I know when I ask, I'll receive it. You're not a God who withholds. Lightning flowing inside of these veins. I need a Holy Ghost. conversing with a heavenly language. And every time I get a taste, I know I just want more. I just want more. You're the kingdom that's been growing inside me. It's like a Bible for the river.
Worship him in this moment. Let's lift our hands and our hearts. Just give our worship unto him. Amen.
Our Father in heaven.
place. Yours is the kingdom. Yours is the power. Yours is the glory, God. We give it unto you. We give it unto you, Father. We thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. God, we give you praise in this moment. We thank you for your anointing that is in this place. We give you all the honor, all the praise. Come on. Hallelujah.
Good morning. Now is the time in our service where we know that God listens and hears our prayers. Amen. And that he answers our prayers. And so if you have any needs that you would have that you want us to stand in agreement with you for, this is the place. God says that we're to lay our hands on the sick and they will recover, that when two or more agree on anything, it is done by our Father in heaven. And so if you have a prayer request or if you have a need, please come forward. We're so happy you're here today. You're a first-time guest. Don't be shy. Just come on up. So our prayer partners are going to be here at the altar, and we're going to sing one more song. Amen.
God, we thank you that you are fighting for us. We thank you that whatever situation we face, God, we can be assured that we have victory in Christ. And Lord, we thank you that you are for us. And we just honor you. Thank you, Jesus.
Come on. When I lift my voice, when I lift.
called you blessed. He has called you by name. God, we thank you, Lord, that we walk in your authority, that you've given us the key. God, we just bless you this morning. We thank you, Lord, that as we speak out, as we shout out, God, walls that, like the walls of Jericho, they come crashing down. Hallelujah. I believe this Sunday is the Sunday of the shout. Come on, we're going to see some walls come down today. Hallelujah. I thank you, and I prophesy in this room that there are miracles in this house. Hallelujah. Come on, somebody, and open up your mouth. You can sense it in the room, but there's a shift here. As you're speaking this out, those walls are coming down. As you're speaking it out, your situation is being changed. God has already worked it out. Come on. Somebody testify to that this morning. We bless your name, God. We thank you that we can depend and lean and stand in you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. God, we bless you. Now, I said this is the weekend of the shout, so right now, let's go ahead and crash some walls. Somebody lift up a shout of praise in this house. Hallelujah.
Anointing and hundreds and thousands of people, like, just really fills you up. Amen. So I just want to welcome everyone here today. Thank you so much for being here. My name is Allison, and Pastor Steve and Jill are taking a much needed vacation today. They have been, I think Pastor Steve said, like 90 something weeks, or I don't know, that's like over a year, right? It's been a long time, so they are taking a much-needed vacation, so we are so glad to have you here today. We want to welcome our online audience, those watching online, on Facebook, on YouTube. Thank you. We have viewers that watch us from all around the world, and so we're so happy to have you guys joining us, as well as anyone here. And Ascend members that are watching online, we miss you. We are praying one day you will join us back here again in person, so thank you for watching today. Speaking of online, you know that we can be seen on Facebook. If you would share that on your Facebook app later after you sit down, that would be great. You can share on our live stream. There's Facebook, Instagram pages, and then, oh, you can be seated. Go ahead and be seated. I probably should have told you to greet someone, but maybe I missed that cue. Go ahead and have a seat. If you see someone around you that you don't know, say hello. Tell them welcome. All right, so again, we have the Ascend app. Feel free to download that. It'll has all Pastor Steve's sermons and scriptures if you're believing God for healing or for finances or for, you know, victory in a lawsuit, whatever it is. We have all kinds of scriptures on that app for you, so feel free to download that. And then again, our service is broadcast. You can watch it live on YouTube, on Facebook. I actually shared my neighbor across the street kind of asked like where I go on Sundays, and I said, oh, I go down to Jupiter, and you know, I go to church there. And she's like, oh, what's it called? And I said, Ascend. And I said, oh, you can watch it on YouTube or Facebook. And so she actually watched a couple services ago when he talked about discouragement. She had been like sick, and She watched some of it online, so I was like, praise the Lord. So I don't think she watched the whole thing, but hey, that's better than nothing, right? God planted some seeds, some word there. So tell your neighbors, tell people that you meet. You never know what they're going through. God wants to use you to reach them, okay? So share. And if you are a first-time visitor today, if anyone, would you raise your hand if you're a first-timer? We don't want to embarrass you. Yay, welcome. Everyone give her a hand. We have a little gift we want to give you. And if you wouldn't mind just filling out that card, Pastor Steve and Jill or our staff would love to give you a call and just to see if there's anything we can pray with you for. And we love to just keep track of who God puts in our family. So thank you for doing that. And then again, we'll have little registers that go by. If you would just sign that and fill that in, that way we know you were here. If you're not here for a couple weeks, we might want to call and say, hey, what's going on? Is everything all right? But if you don't fill that out, we won't know that you're good or you're here. So thank you for doing that and passing that along. And then we have one more way of staying in touch is our text messages. Who here gets the text message? Just a few of you. More of you need to get that because it tells you, reminds you about Sunday. I actually forwarded my neighbor sent, because Pastor Steve sends out little snippets about what the message is going to be about during the week, right? So I forwarded that to my neighbor, so she had a little idea, and then I think that's when she asked me, oh, how can I watch or something? So use that little text message and send that to people. And then you're also notified about our weekly prayer meetings every other Thursday and all kinds of announcements we have, so make sure you do that. I think that's 313131, I believe. And then, just want to refresh, because we're here, it's been a long week in the world, we're back in the kingdom, we're getting our batteries recharged, we want to know why we're here, right? Why are we here? Why are we coming together on Sunday? It's because we want to help people know God, we want to know God better, right? We want to find freedom in the Word and what God has promised us and how to do that, because we can read the Word, but then when we hear the Word on Sunday, it's more like, how can we apply that? How can we make that happen in our life? We discover our purpose when we come to church and learn about the gifts and the talents that God has given us. We discover the purpose that He has for us, in addition to making disciples, right? That's all our number one purpose. And then make a difference, right? We want to be giving. We want to be a volunteer in the church. We want to contribute here. We want to contribute. We want to go to connect groups. We want to be a part of a community. So that's why we come to church on Sunday, right? We come to have a good time. So thank you for being here. We're excited, and we have a special guest, which Pastor Steve did a video about, and what are we doing, tithe now? Yes? I can't see if that's a thumbs up, but I'm going to say that it is. So we're going to do the church offering now, and Monique had that perfect song at the end. It was, I have the authority, right? And so the word God gave me this week was choices. Everybody say choices. Choices. Life is about choices, okay? You choose to get saved. You have to say, yes, Lord, I'm going to give my life to you. You are going to be my Lord and Savior. I'm going to follow you. Life is about choices. And in Genesis chapter 30, verse 19, it says he says, I call heaven and earth to witness against you today. This is important. He's calling heaven and earth. I have placed before you life and death and blessing in the curse. So choose life. So God has set before us this choice. We can choose death. We can choose life with salvation. We can choose blessing. We can choose cursing. Yes, God wants you to be blessed. God wants you to choose life. But God already made the choice. He sent Jesus. Now it's up to us. You have to choose and then take action towards that. So, you know, you have to choose that in your life. You chose salvation. That's good. You have to choose joy in the morning when you wake up and you're not feeling it, right? I choose to be joyful today. I choose to walk in love today. We have choices, and that's the same in our financial life. God wants you to be blessed. God wants you to prosper, but He's given us His word to show us how. And so you need to choose God's way with your finances and follow His word, or who's the other option? The devil, right? That's what I like to do in kids' church. It's God's way or the devil's way. We don't want to go the devil's way. And so, well, that just means we're going to have lack, right? So then in Proverbs 3, verse 9, it says, verses 9 and 10, and you've heard this before. It says, honor the Lord with your wealth and with the first fruits of all your crops, and then your barns will overflow, will be filled to overflowing, and your vats will brim forth with new wine. Now, that says, honor the Lord with your wealth and the first fruits of your crops. Another version says, honor the Lord with your possessions and the first fruits of all your increase. Now, I like that because that's a little more, we don't use crops and things these days, unless you're a farmer, which Anna has family in Kentucky that farms still, but I don't think anyone here in Florida is farming. So we have a job, so we honor the Lord with our first fruits, and then that's how we get God to bless us, and that's how he can honor the promise when we honor his word. And just this week, actually, I am a faithful tither and giver, okay? So you give tithes, that's 10% of what you get, and then you give an offering, right? We want to be generous to God. We don't just want to do the minimum. We want to give over and above so that God will give over and above back to us. And so this week, I actually had a little tithing testimony. I have a cousin who lives in D.C. who had a baby. Because of COVID, they didn't want anyone to come visit, so it's been a while. He's going to be a year in December. And I really wanted to go meet him. And so this week, they said that I could come visit. She's like, oh, maybe you could come and visit before the holidays or something. And you know how busy it is this time of year, right? With Christmas and Thanksgiving and my birthday's in there. It's just insane. So I was like, Lord, I didn't expect to throw a trip to D.C. in the middle of like my budgeting for Christmas. And so I was looking online at flights, and there are some cheap airlines out there, which I won't name, but they are trash. I was like, Lord, am I really going to have to fly this airline? Oh, my gosh. There are two. They begin with the same letter. I won't name them. But I was like, oh, man, I'm going to have to fly this airline. And the times are like 6 a.m. out of Fort Lauderdale, which means you have to wake up at 3. I live in Stewart. I was like, Lord. And then I thought JetBlue. And so I log into my JetBlue account. I have all these points. So I'm going to D.C. for free. Woo! The weekend of the 22nd, which is why I have to talk to you about that. Anyway, so in 2 weekends, I'm going to visit my new, like, first cousin once removed, I think is what he is. But God cares about the details. Oh, and the best thing about the JetBlue flights with my miles is that it's an 11:30 flight. So I don't, like, that's the one thing. I was like, Lord, I hate waking up in the middle of the night. It just ruins the day when you travel. Like, it's just a pain. And so God gave me the desire of my heart, and I get to leave at 11:30 instead of 6 a.m. So, hallelujah. Tithe. So prepare yourselves. Let's get your, there's envelopes and the seat backs in front of you. You can give online. You can text. Is there a little thingy for me? There we go. We take cash. We take checks. I know Monique would prefer if you guys would do it electronically. No, just kidding. We welcome the cash. We welcome the cash. You can give online. I love to give online. When I get paid, I just go online, ascend.com.us, give. I'm already logged in. My credit card's already linked. It just goes right through. You can text. You can use Cash App, those electronic things. It's super easy. So test it. Honor God with your tithe and just watch him. If there's a need you have, be like, God, I'm going to test you. I need this need met. Show me you that you're real. And he'll do it. He loves you and he cares about the smallest details. Amen. All right, well, did you have enough time? Ushers, go ahead, I guess. Make sure we pass that along. And we are going to be blessed today with the word. I know, I'm so excited for our special guest. I'm not going to say who it is because I'm going to let Pastor Steve and Jill do that. But anyway, it's going to be good. It's going to be good. And we had an awesome time at prayer. Thank you for those who came. We had some new faces. Every other Thursday, we have prayer. Just want to plug that again because it's so much fun. All right. Excellent, excellent. Thank you, everyone. Thank you, ushers, for your volunteering. It's a great thing to volunteer for. If you're not doing anything in the church, be an usher. We like smiling faces. All righty. So I think now we're going to have a video.
Good morning, everybody.
Oh, volume. We need volume.
Pastor Jill and I are away for a few days.
And we're so excited to be away. We actually have not missed church for like 90 weeks. And that's a record, actually.
I think there was one Sunday in 90 weeks that we might have missed.
But we got to go away for our anniversary, right?
39th wedding anniversary.
Yeah, so we will tell you all about it when we get back. But we've got some good things, and I believe you're going to get everything you need in church today.
We have a very special guest. We're so excited to have our oldest daughter, Robin Kuntz, is going to be speaking today. Robin lives in California with her husband, Brian. They have four wonderful children. Robin is a pastor at Hillsong Church in Los Angeles, and we just couldn't be prouder of Robin. We're so sorry we're not here to see her, but of course we're watching online, and we will watch this as soon as we have an opportunity. So Robin is just a wonderful mother of four children, and she's now just recently joined Hillsong Church on staff, and of course she grew up in church, and she speaks at Hillsong. She's part of the preaching team, and we're just so thankful for the God's hand upon Robin's life. She's always been such a blessing from the time she was little, always been such a good, obedient child, and we love you, Robin, and we're so proud of you. So I want to ask you, Ascend Church, won't you please give a big welcome to Robin Kuntz.
Did I get it? I got it. Okay, in my defense, the way that we do it at our church in LA is as I'm running up on the stage, I grab a mic out of someone's hand and I go on. So I'm not used to like getting it. So I just swoop it and go on. So I'm so sorry. It was just habits. Good morning. Welcome to church. It's so good to see you. As my mom and dad said, I'm Robin, and it's a privilege to be here with you today. And so many people here I've known since I was a kid. And if I haven't known you since I was a kid, hello. And I love my mom and dad were just saying they haven't missed a Sunday in like 90 weeks. That's remarkable. I know that Sundays are such a priority for them, and so for them to miss, my mom and dad, I woke up to text from them this morning, and I was like, church is going to be great. It's going to be awesome. You guys enjoy your day. We've got this covered. And so I know their hearts and their minds are here in this building this morning, no matter where they are, but it's so good to be here, and thank you for coming to church. For everybody who's part of team or serving, there have been people here from really early this morning setting up and rehearsing and getting everything going. And so thank you for serving. Thank you for giving of your skills and abilities and time. Yeah, you can put your hands together for them, for building the church. And one thing I've learned with building churches, you never regret it. It's such a privilege, and then you being here and sitting here today. There's so many things you could do with a Sunday. All kinds of brunches I can think of having, but you choose to be here in the house of God, and same thing. I commend you for that, and I just maybe going into the service, I just say, have faith-filled expectation that God has something for you today. Not for your neighbor or you know anyone else, but for you. So come into it with that. Shall we go? Amen. Ephesians 6, verse 10 through 18 says this. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything, to stand. Stand firm then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for today. Thank you that we get to gather in your house. Thank you, Lord, that your word says that where two or more gathered in your name, you're there with them. So I thank you, Lord, that you're here with us. And I pray, Father, that you speak through me, that I only say what you would have me say. We thank you for your presence here today and for you to do what only you can do. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Do I have a clock somewhere? I don't have a clock. Okay, let's go. I love this passage of scripture. My upbringing, a week or two ago, we were sitting talking in LA with a group of people and pastors, and my brother-in-law Sam was saying, man, one of his favorite things about my dad is how much faith he has. That he, nothing's impossible, nothing's too hard. God's got it. Always encouraged, always building faith, always full of faith. And so that's what I grew up in this faith-filled home, in a church environment that's faith-filled. And so I love that. Sometimes, you know, growing up in church, also see like the weird side of faith, if I'm honest. You know, where people, like my parents are so faith-filled, but so normal. But sometimes I would see it taken to the extreme. And so people, you know, everything was a spiritual battle. And I'm like, dude, no, you just like don't know how to handle your money. You know, like everything. And so I found myself, instead of over-spiritualizing things, I found myself over the years under-spiritualizing things. Where, you know, if I had a financial issue, I'd be like, well, I need to make more money, and I need to be better and have more wisdom with the money I have, like common sense. If I had struggles or challenges in my marriage, I'd say, well, we need to get some help, and we need to work on our communication skills. So if I had just faced challenges, I would think of the human side of things, which is true. There is that. We live in a fallen world, and life does happen, and life isn't perfect, and we live in a world where things happen, a world that's not perfect. But in this passage of Scripture, Paul reminds us that there is more to life than what we can see. That there are things happening that we can't see, that there is a spiritual battle happening, that there's an enemy who's working actively against us. And for me, this is something in the last maybe couple of years, God's really been dealing with me in this and revealing this to me, has reminded me time and time again that there's a spiritual battle taking place, to not neglect that, things don't just happen, that life isn't just complicated, that there's more happening than what we can see, a spiritual battle. You see, we have a God who loves us, a God who created us, a God who wants the best for us, who's come to give us life and life in abundance, and simultaneously, we have an enemy who's come to steal and to kill and destroy. And so it's not one or the other. Both of these are happening at the same time. And I don't know what you're facing, and I don't know what you're going to face, and I don't have the answers, but God does. And this passage of Scripture gives some insight into what's happening and what we can do about it. And so in the rest of our time together, I just want to kind of dissect this passage of Scripture. You know, sometimes, maybe while I was reading that, you're like, oh, I've heard that before. Like, I know that. Like, I know that one. And so we can brush over the Word of God. And so just to take some time and go through this kind of line by line and see what God will have to say to us about it today. Sound good? In going through this, I have three main points. Number one, God is your source of strength. God is your source of strength. Verse 10, this passage of Scripture opens up with, finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Be strong in the Lord and in his power. Not in myself, not in my power. Be strong in the Lord and in his power. God is my source of strength, not me. This single verse tells me who I get my strength from and how to be strong. I'm strong by relying on God. He's the who. And I'm strong in his power. That's the how. We live in a culture where you make your own way. We are go-getters, ambitious, motivated, dream chasers, ladder climbers. We believe that with grit and hard work, we can achieve anything. And we're conditioned to think that way, to take care of ourselves. This idea of tapping into God's strength can feel foreign to us. The idea of being able to even wanting to rely on other people is kind of not ingrained in us. And I don't know about you, but I often go to God when I can't figure it out anymore. You know, I'm like, I got this. I've got life figured out. And then only when I'm completely unable to, then I go, okay, God, I could use a little bit of help. But we've got that backwards. We should constantly, daily, in every situation, big or small, invite God into it. This is part of walking in relationship with him. He will strengthen you. He will uphold you. He will guide you. He will protect you. He is faithful and trustworthy. He is powerful. He is mighty. He loves you. He's with you. He's for you. And his plans for you are good. And I want to spend a moment on this because I don't know if you're like me. Sorry, my hair is like really bugging me. I don't know if you're like me, but I can think about, okay, that's God's part. What's my part? Like, my part, God. Tell me about my part. What do I need to do? And can it kind of shift to that? And we'll get to that because that's covered in the later on in this passage of scripture. But before we get to that, I just want to stay here for a moment in this opening line that God is your strength. His strength is how we do it anyway. This is his armor we're putting on anyway. We can't do it without him, without his strength, without his saving grace, and we're not supposed to. I think of the story of Elisha in 2 Kings where the king of Aram was at war with the king of Israel, and so he would tell his officers and soldiers what to do, and then God would tell Elisha what they were planning, and Elisha would tell the king, and so the king of Aram was furious, and he sent officers to capture Elisha. And so during the middle of the night, the army came and surrounded the city where Elisha was staying. And so when they got up in the morning and looked out, there were chariots and soldiers all around. And so Elisha's servant said to him, what are we going to do? And Elisha said, those who are with us are more than those who are with them. And then he prayed and he said, open his eyes, Lord, that he may see. And God opened his eyes and the servant saw that all around them there were angels and chariots of fire. One of the names of God is Jehovah Sabaoth, and I hope I pronounced that right, which means the Lord of hosts or the God of the angel armies. And this name of the Lord is used 290 times in scripture. You are not alone in your battle. You are not alone in your challenges. Jesus is with you. The Bible says he goes before you. He brings miraculous intervention. God is your source of strength. Number two, God has given you everything you need. Verse 10 says, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. He's your source of strength. Verse 11 says, put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the enemy's schemes. Put on the full armor of God. Even in the part we play, even as we put on the armor, God has given us everything we need. The armor is first and foremost God's armor, not ours. Through the gospel, the divine warrior Jesus gives us his equipment, which he wore first triumphantly in our place against the forces of evil. Not only is God our source of strength, but he has given us the tools with which to fight the enemy. Let's talk through the armor for a second. Paul mentions seven things in this passage. The belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, ready feet. It says feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. The shield of faith, the helmet of salvation, the sword of the spirit, and prayer. And we're going to take a little bit of time on each one of these. Sound good? The belt of truth. John 17, verse 17 says, sanctify them by your truth. No, sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. God's word is truth. There's nothing dishonest or fake about it. Nothing is in it is a lie. John 8, verse 32 says, you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. God's word is truth. And knowing God's word is what allows us to be set free. Jesus was tested in the wilderness. I think of this story in the Bible where God led Jesus into the wilderness, and he had been fasting for 40 days and 40 nights, and he was hungry, and the tempter came to him. So the first thing he said was, if you're God, tell these stones to become bread. The first thing he said, and Jesus said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. Then the devil took him to the holy city and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. And he said, if you're the Son of God, throw yourself down. For it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and they will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. And Jesus answered him with scripture again. And he said, it is written, do not put the Lord your God to the test. And then a third time, the devil took him to a very high mountain, and he showed him all the kingdoms and all their splendor. And he said, all this I'll give to you if you will just bow down and worship me. And Jesus said to him, away from me, Satan, for as it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only. And then the devil left him, and the angels attended to him. Everything the devil said to him, Jesus responded back with the truth of God's word. The same goes for us. Knowing God's word is what enables us to withstand and reject the lies that the enemy whispers to us. John 14, verse 26 says, but the advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. When the enemy tells a lie, the Holy Spirit brings to remembrance the truth of God's word. So we're able to decipher the truth of God's word from the lies of the enemy. The second thing is the breastplate of righteousness. Righteousness means being made right. Being made right. I love Psalm 23, verse 3. It says, the Lord guides us in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. God is so kind to us. He didn't just save us by his grace, but he guides us to the path of righteousness. He shows us the way, he leads us and guides us. And I want to remind you today that you are not your own savior. This isn't a behavior modification program. You are saved by the grace of God, and he hasn't asked you to fix yourself. And as you lean into a relationship with him and take this posture of, God, I want to live for you, I want to please you, I want to obey you, this posture is what allows God to do an inner work in us that leads to righteousness. The third thing is ready feet, with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. The good news is the gospel of peace. The good news of Jesus, who came to the earth and died for our sins so that we can be reconciled to God. That is the good news. I love how the Amplified Bible says this. It says, and having strapped on your feet the gospel of peace in preparation to face the enemy with firm-footed stability and the readiness produced by the good news. We run this race. We live this life. We go into battle with the word of God, this good news as our foundation. We can face the enemy with firm-footed stability and readiness because of the good news that we've built our life on. Again, it's not in our own strength. It's not in our ability to fight. It's not by our strong will or our stick-to-itiveness or our toughness. We can face the enemy with this posture, with this mindset, with this readiness, because we have firmly planted our life on the truth of Jesus, on the truth of the gospel, on the good news, on the hope of salvation, on the best being ahead, on the promises of God for our life here on earth and for our life in eternity. Next is the shield of faith. The Roman officers back then in Bible days had two shields. One was a small round shield that they use in like hand-to-hand combat. And then the other one, the one that Paul is referring to, is a bigger shield. It's like four and a half feet high by 2 feet wide. So it would cover their entire body. So when the soldiers, they advanced in rows, so they'd stick together, advanced in rows as the Romans did, the enemy was faced with a solid wall of shields, row upon row of them. Our shield against Satan's arrows is this kind of faith, faith that can be trusted. We do not need to fear when we advance into battle. God will be with us, and he will bring victory. Faith itself is not what protects us, but rather as we engage our faith, we activate the power and the protection of the Almighty God. We walk by faith and not by sight. That's right. Our faith enables us to engage with God and what he is doing in the unseen on our behalf. This part wasn't in my message, but I was thinking with this, it said how, you know, the soldiers would come together, each of them with their full body shield, and come together in rows. And when they clicked together in that row, it was a wall of shields. And this is another message for another day, but community is make or break. The people that you do your life with, the people who are speaking into your life, the people who are giving you advice when you face challenges, they're make or break. The people that, you know, sometimes I can feel really discouraged, but a friend of mine will speak the word of God into me when I'm maybe not in that place. So if community is make or break, but that's for another day. The helmet of salvation is the final piece of the armor. The helmet protects one of the most vulnerable parts of the body. The assurance of salvation is our impenetrable defense against anything the enemy throws at us. Salvation brings us into relationship with Jesus. It's made us his heirs. It freed us from the curse of sin and death. Jesus already won the victory on the cross. So no matter what the enemy throws at you, you can face him with confidence that God is with you and that Jesus has already won and that the best is ahead. The helmet of salvation. The sword of the Spirit is the word of God. John Mark Comer says this, "Scripture is a library of writings that are both human and divine that together tell a unified story that leads us to Jesus." I love that this armor of God begins and ends with God's word. God's word is the truth, and it's living in you, and its enemy comes against you or fills your head or your heart with lies, the Holy Spirit will bring scripture to remembrance. When challenges come, you will know what God said. When you're faced with a decision, you'll know what to do, because the Bible says that the steps of the righteous are ordered by the Lord. When you're feeling stretched and you don't know how you can take on anymore, you know that you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. When you're dealing with sickness, you know that by his stripes you were healed. When you're feeling burned out, you know that you can go to God and he will give you rest. When you're feeling discouraged and you can't see the light of the light at the end of the tunnel, you know that God has great plans for you, plans for a hope and a future. When you're struggling with low self-esteem, you know that God created you, that he knit you together in your mother's womb. When you suddenly lose your job and you don't know what to do, you remember that God is Jehovah Jireh, your provider, not an employer. When you're facing the impossible, you know that he is able to do immeasurably more than we could ever ask, think, or imagine. Know his word so that when the enemy comes against you, you can stand firm with confidence in the truth of God's word. Come on. Next up, prayer. Prayer is next. Verse 18 says, "And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people." Victory in spiritual warfare is inseparable from prayer. I'm going to be honest with you. I haven't always prayed. I don't always pray over things, especially the things that I've already prayed for. Like, I've already done it. Philippians 4:6 says this, don't worry about anything, but pray in everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he has done. And I don't know about you, but sometimes I can think I've prayed about something, but when I actually think about it, I've thought about it and thought about it and thought about it and thought about it and processed it and thought about it and talked about it and not actually prayed about it. And so that's something I'm trying to grow in, to pray. It says, keep on praying. Keep on praying. Be alert and always keep on praying. I'm a work in progress with that, but I'm going to continue to work on that. Prayer is significant. Prayer is powerful. Prayer can shift the atmosphere. It sets the miraculous into motion. It sets into motion the living God and his angel armies on your behalf, and it invites him to do the supernatural in your life. Prayer. Number three. We have 3 points. I'm on number three. We're good. You sticking with me? I'm a daydreamer, so if you're daydreaming, it's fine. I get you. You're my people. Sometimes I'm like, oh my gosh, I've got to come back to the room. Faith, number three. Faith has a posture. Faith has a posture. Verse 13 says, therefore, put on the full armor of God, so when the day of evil comes, you will be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything, to stand. 14 starts with, stand firm then. In this passage of scripture, we see stand, stand, stand firm, stand, repeated. Faith has a posture. Standing is a posture of readiness. It is sure-footed, sure-footed. I knew when I wrote that down, I was going to say fitted and not footed. I knew from the beginning. It is sure-footed. A posture of alertness, a posture ready to go into battle, a posture that anticipates what's ahead. Paul is using this comparison to a soldier throughout this passage. And, you know, a soldier wouldn't sit down and relax and turn his back to the enemy and just chill out. No, he's up. He's alert. He's facing. He's ready to go. He's ready for battle. 1 Peter 5, verse 8 to 9 says, be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Resist him, standing firm in the faith, because you know that the family of believers throughout the world is undergoing the same kind of sufferings. He is not sitting back relaxing. He is actively on the hunt. And this is where our part comes in. God is our strength. He has given us everything we need. We have to put in the armor, and then we stand firm. Stand firm on the word of God, the foundation of life, and not just stand, but stand with a posture of faith, of confidence, of expectation, and of strength. This is where we resist the devil, and he flees from us. Not because of our power and strength, but because we have put on the armor of God. We have used the tools he has given us. This is where we actively stand with firm-footed stability, ready to fight. Stand firm with a posture of faith. Joshua 1, verse 9 says, have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. You can be strong and courageous even when you don't feel like it, because the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Come on. Come on. Proverbs 3, verse 26 says, for the Lord will be your confidence and will keep your foot from being caught. The Lord will be your confidence. I am not confident because of me. I'll tell you that. Zero. I'm confident because of God. Because God is on my side, because of the promises that he's made to me, I'm confident in him. You can stand with this confidence, you can stand with this posture with confidence because God is with you. He goes before you. He will be with you wherever you go, whatever you face. You have a confidence that runs so much deeper than yourself and your own abilities. Jesus Christ is the triumphant warrior over Satan, death, and sin. And through his faithfulness and righteousness, his victory is now accredited to us as if it were our own. Because he stood firm in his battle, we Christians too will ultimately stand. By faith, his righteousness becomes ours. And in Christ, we have a shield of refuge in God who will never leave us or forsake us. I hope that you're encouraged today. I hope that your faith is stirred, that your confidence has increased, that you are reminded that God is with you, that he is your strength, that he's given you everything you need, that as you take the armor of God and you build your life on his word and put your faith in him, that you can stand firm with confidence, knowing that you're not alone in your battle, that he is with you, that he is for you, that he goes before you, that he is working on your behalf, protecting you and building your life in Jesus' name. Amen? Come on. As we close, I want to read in the Amplified Version. Cool? And then we're done. That's it. Okay, Amplified Version. It says, in conclusion, be strong in the Lord. Draw your strength from him and be empowered through your union with him and in the power of his boundless might. Put on the full armor of God, for his precepts are like the splendid armor of a heavenly armed soldier, so that you may be able to successfully stand up against all the schemes and the strategies and the deceits of the devil. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, contending only with physical opponents, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly, supernatural places. Therefore, put on the complete armor of God so that you will be able to successfully resist, and stand your ground in the day of evil, of danger, and having done everything that the crisis demands, to stand firm in your place, fully prepared, immovable, victorious. So stand and hold your ground, having tightened the wide band of truth, which is personal integrity and moral courage around your waist, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, an upright heart, and having strapped on your feet the gospel of peace in preparation to face the enemy with firm-footed stability and the readiness produced by the good news. Above all else, lift up the protective shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. With all prayer and petition, with specific requests. With all prayer and petition, with specific requests. Pray specifically with God. What are you specifically asking for? God, I pray your will, I trust you, but this is what I'm praying for. May your will be done. At all times, on every occasion, and in every season, in the Spirit, and with this in view, stay alert with all perseverance and petition, interceding in prayer for all God's people. Come on, you can stand with me this morning as we close. I hope that encourages you and encourages my faith tremendously. God is with you and he's for you. Thank God, because by myself, I'd be dead in a ditch. We're going to close the service in a few minutes, but before we do, I just want to give you an opportunity. We've been talking about God. We've been and who he is. and what he does for us. And maybe you're in here and you go, I don't have a relationship with God. That's really where it begins, as we invite Jesus in to be a part of our life. Say, God, I want to live with you. I want to know you. That's where this begins. He comes alongside us. He comes into our life and fulfills his promises in our life. And so if you have not made, if you've not prayed a prayer like that, or maybe you've prayed a prayer like that in the past, and God, I want to invite you into my life. And you go, you know what? I feel really distant from God, and I just want to start fresh today. I want to pray with you. The Bible says in Romans that if you believe in your heart, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, that you would be saved. And so that's just simple. It's just a simple prayer that we're going to pray today. You say, God, I just want to invite you into my life. I want to know you. I want to live for you. I believe that you are God. And that starts today. So if everyone in here can just close your eyes and bow your heads, because this is a personal moment between you and God. If you say, that's me, Robin, I want to know Jesus. I want to invite him into my life. All the things that you're talking about, I want that in my life. I want to pray with you. And if you say, you know what, I've prayed a prayer like that, but I feel distant from God, or I want to start fresh with him today, I'd like to pray that with you. And so if you are one of those people, at the count of three, if you just would raise your hand where you're standing, I'm not going to call you up or anything. We all pray together right where you are, but I just want to pray with you. So if that's you, if you say, I want to begin a relationship with Jesus today, I want to start fresh with him, the count of three, will you raise your hand? 1, 2, 3. Church, you can all look up at me. Can we pray together? So Jesus, thank you for dying on the cross for me. I believe in you. I invite you into my life. I pray for a fresh start today. Thank you, Lord, for helping me live for you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name. Amen. Everybody say amen. Thank you.
We successfully handed it off. Woo! All right, can we give Robin a round of applause? That was amazing. Thank you, Robin. We're a little jealous of Hillsong LA getting to hear her preach all the time, right? You guys can watch online, though. They have, like, services broadcast, can't you, if you wanted to see her preach some more. But we're going to show a quick video. We've got one more thing to do, and we'll be out of here. She only preached, like, a short time, like half her dad's time. So you've got plenty of time to get to lunch. That's true. That's true. But you did awesome. So just have a seat for a quick minute. We're going to watch a video real quick.
Well, wasn't that a blessing? Thank you, Robin, for flying all the way from California to come and bless us today. Mom and I, we so appreciate it. And you know, the scripture says in verse number 5, just one chapter, it says this. It says, dear friend, you are being faithful to God when you care for the traveling teachers who pass through. Even though they are strangers to you, they have told the church here of your loving friendship. Please continue providing for such teachers in a manner that pleases God. For they are traveling for the Lord, and they accept nothing from people who are not believers. So we ourselves should support them so that we can be partners as they teach the truth. The Bible actually preaches, it says, those who preach the gospel should live from the gospel. And here the scripture says that it talks about these traveling teachers. He said, you may not know them well, but they're traveling for the Lord and they're preaching the word of God. And he said, we should support them and that we should partner with them. You know, when you give to a minister, to a preacher, someone who's preaching God's word, the Bible says you become a partner with them. That means whatever is accomplished through their ministry, you have a part in that. And we want to receive an offering for Robin, as we do always when we have a guest. We want to be a blessing to her. She came all the way from California to bless us, and we want to be a blessing to her. So I want to ask you to pray and see what the Lord would guide you to sow into Robin's life and ministry, and I know that the Lord will bless you greatly as you do so. So let's pray right now. Father, I thank you for speaking to us today. I thank you, Lord, that you are a God of generosity, and your word says that you love cheerful givers. I thank you for speaking to our hearts, Lord. I thank you for every giver. I thank you for blessing each one as they give. Jesus, you said that when we give, it shall be given back to us. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. Thank you, Lord, for running over blessings. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, everybody. Thank you, Robin, for coming. We love you. We're so proud of you. I can't wait to watch this. And everybody, we next Sunday, don't forget, we got Prophet Ed Trout. Next Sunday is going to be awesome. Don't miss that. God bless. We love you. We'll see you soon.
All right. So there are envelopes in your seat backs to give by credit card or check or cash. We want to be a blessing, like Pastor Steve said. Anytime there's a guest speaker, I always want to make sure that I sow some seed, because what God is doing in their life, he's used to minister to you. And when you sow into their life, whatever monetary amount, you're taking part in their harvest, the difference that they're making in their ministry. So we want to bless Robin today. So be busy writing your things and all your envelopes in just a minute. I want to remind you, we have connect groups this week. If you're not involved in a connect group and you want to, or find out where there are some, feel free to message the office on social media or call, and we'll tell you where there is one locally. We want to be in that body of believers. When you want people to pray with you and you want people to fellowship with and encourage you, like Robin was saying, surrounding ourselves, that is what connect group is for. Love it, love it. And go ahead, ushers, offering. Ushers, please pass the buckets. Thank you. I think I gave you enough time. All right, so Ed Trout, next Sunday, 10 a.m. and 6 p.m., bring a friend. He is funny. He is anointed. He speaks with supernatural accuracy. You don't want to miss it. And connect groups, and then prayer will be not this Thursday, but the following Thursday. We invite you all to come. And we just pray in Jesus' name that you would have a fantastic week. Do you receive that? Say, I'm going to have an amazing week. God's going to move in my life. And it's going to be awesome. All right. We love you guys. Thank you for coming. You are dismissed. We not have the band playing? All right. Have a great week, guys. We love you.
Prepare the way for the Lord in my heart. Jen had this word earlier. I'm just going to release it. She said, he's cleaning house. She saw the Lord with the broom. I just feel that right now. That he's making space. That Jesus, I love you is the only thing. That Jesus, I see you is the only thing. When we say more than anything, I just feel like he's sweeping out the things that don't belong. And he's making space for Jesus, I love you. Jesus, I love you. Jesus, I love you. Lord, come make space in my heart. Not just enough room, but all the room.